This is Cheryl Deco, president of Bezalel Books and author of the fiction book Elizabeth, A Holy Land Pilgrimage, here to remind you to take your vitamins today. That's your Catholic vitamins, A through Z, with Deacon Tom and his lovely wife, Dee.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won. Look at how far we've come. Let's fully embrace the change that has taken place.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Oh, hi, Dee.
Hi, Tom.
This is take number 3, folks.
They get funnier as we go.
We have to have another Vitamin H humor show or something
like
that.
I have neglected bringing some Vita humor into our podcast recently.
I know.
I haven't done any in a long time. And I don't think I have anything ready for today either, but maybe in the future.
Well, this is Tom and Dee. This is Catholic Vitamins. The idea is that we are really upbeat, empowered by the vitamins we take, the Catholic vitamins we take. We love our faith. We love the Lord. We love the Church, the sacraments. And we're going to even talk about the sacrament of marriage in a minute. Today, Dee, is Catholic vitamin
G for genealogy.
Ah, we didn't have any guesses for that, did we?
No.
Not one correct guess.
Those long ones don't tend to get too many guesses.
I know, and this is an unusual word. You know, during the interview that we have with our guest, who is?
Father Andreas Hoke.
Hoke.
Hoke. Oh.
There you go. That's.
I even practiced this before.
Yeah, Father Andreas Hoke. He's from the Archdiocese of Denver. He's one of our former professors and someone that you know.
Yes.
And he was a wonderful.
I remember him very well.
Very gentle, loving priest, but highly, highly educated. And he's going to help us look at genealogy.
Yeah, this is show number 122.
Okay, what's the importance of genealogy? During the interview with Father Hoke, I talked to him about a church that we visited once in Nevada, where they had almost like their entire history out front as you entered the church before you got into the sanctuary, where they had vessels and newspaper articles and vestments and stories of parishioners. We Americans have created a throwaway society about a lot of things in our lives, here today, gone tomorrow. And, you know, one of the areas is we've lost the ancient love of where we've come from. The many of the nationalities of people are still honoring their ancestors, and we'll talk about the importance of genealogy in the church and in scripture with Father Hoke. Dear, what are we going to share about during our opening segment?
Well, I think we mentioned last time that we were going to have this lettering project going on in our house where we had our friend was going to come and do some calligraphy on our wall.
Yeah, Candy.
But she got sick.
Mm.
I really sick. She really was running a high fever for a couple of days. But we prayed her back to health.
Amen.
And hopefully she's going to be able to come this week and do it. So we'll have to take some pictures.
We'll try to take some pictures of this. Candy has, among many other talents, a great hand and eye for calligraphy, and she's going to use calligraphy to create Dee's favorite scripture verse. This is the day the Lord has made.
Right.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Do that now in the living room.
And then I have the word blessings, which she's going to apply up here on my wall.
We have several. I bought several sort of rub-on lettering or phrases, and we're going to have her put those up. I trust her to do it more straight than I probably would get it.
And just so people will know that you married a very nice guy, we're going out Tuesday, which is Valentine's Day, with Candy and Jim, and we're going to a nice restaurant, a place we're told is nice. We haven't been there before.
I can't believe in 4 years we have never made it out to this restaurant. It's a little bit out of town. But everybody we've talked to in 4 years have said that they've got good food out there. Why it's taken us so long to get out there, I don't know.
So that's what we're doing for Valentine's Day. And Candy will be doing work earlier in that day, putting up this work, we hope, God willing. And we participated in a wedding yesterday, didn't we?
I was just going to say, speaking of eating, we had a really nice luncheon yesterday following a wedding. And you can tell them about the wedding.
Well, you know what I'm going to do, Dee, is I'm going to combine two things. I'm going to combine our experience of yesterday with an Ask the Deacon segment. We started an Ask the Deacon segment at the beginning of the year, and it's a chance for people to ask questions about faith practice, about church laws, anything that might be on your mind. And can a couple who are civilly married, meaning married before a justice of the peace or a judge, can they be married in the Catholic Church? And the answer to that question is yes. There is some paperwork involved, and there are issues like whether there were any previous marriages for either of the people. But once all that is resolved, there's a practice in the church called a lack of form. And a lack of form can usually be handled by a pastor, or it may require a letter to be sent to the bishop or a form to be sent to the bishop. And what this is about is a lead-in to a couple that we know and care for. They don't live terribly far from us, and I helped get the lady started with a lack of form case with a priest, and they asked us to join them for what's called convalidation. That means the blessing of the church, the bringing of their marriage into the church. And they can now, well, she can participate in the sacraments. And I had to earlier tell her that she should not participate in the sacraments until this was done.
I might add that they've been married for, what, 16, 17 years?
Something like that. She's Catholic and he's Lutheran, and they're a wonderful couple. He's very supportive of her and her wishes, and he honored the fact that her heart was called to come back to the fullness of the Catholic practice. I do want to say that we met her parents yesterday. This was a very small wedding ceremony in a chapel, and the parents of the bride are an older couple, and he is a retired deacon. And they said they've been praying for this for 16 or 17 years. So, dear friends of Catholic Vitamins, if you have someone in your family, a brother, sister, cousin, a parent even, or a child who's not practicing the faith, keep praying. Pray to Saint Monica for help. Anything else to cover in our first segment, Dee?
How about a little giveaway?
Oh, already, huh? Okay.
We got this for Christmas from our daughter, but I thought it would be fun to give it away. Anybody need a texting dictionary?
Oh, a texting dictionary of acronyms.
This is fun. Some of these are so funny. For example.
Yes.
The number 4 and then NR.
Foreigner.
Foreigner.
Ah, okay. What else you got? BFF, of course. Everybody knows that's
everybody
best
knows
friend.
That one.
Best friend forever.
And of course, everybody knows what LOL is.
Sure.
How about, these don't look right. Wait a minute.
All right. Dee didn't have this ready, but we
No, I just opened the wrong page. How about EAK?
Eek. What is it?
Eating at the keyboard.
Oh, gosh. Okay. So this is a spiral-bound texting dictionary of acronyms. For use on the internet, Facebook, and Twitter. And
anybody will recognize a lot of the ones in here that a lot of us use on a regular basis. But there is a lot of ones in here that will make you laugh.
About 20 or 25 pages in this thing. It's kind of fun.
So if anybody would like to have it, just give us an email, catholicvitamins@gmail.com, or call us on our feedback line, 206-350-3789, and just say texting dictionary. And the first one we hear from, we'll get it.
All right. That's our first segment, and we thank you for being a listener to Catholic Vitamins. We'll be back.
The scriptures are alive with the many references to a deep, familial relationship with God and with one another. In the Gospel of John, the Lord promised us that he would not leave us orphans, and true to his word, instituted the sacrament of baptism, in which we are adopted as sons and daughters of God the Father, making us also brothers and sisters to Jesus Christ. As he hung on the cross, he, through John, gave us all as spiritual children to Mary, who we now call Mother. It is clear to see that Jesus desires that all souls come to him to share in this one family of God. And what is the mark of membership? Well, in the Gospel of Luke we hear of a scene where Jesus is told that his mother and brethren are outside waiting to see him. To that statement he replied, "Who is my mother, my brother, or my sister?" And pointing to his disciples, continued, "Those who do the will of God are my mother, my sister, and my brother." What appears at first glance to be a rebuke is in essence a verbalized revelation of the desire of God to honor all who listen to his word and keep it. God's family is not dependent on genetic lineage, but on action, on the desire to convert, live a good and holy life in conformance with God's word and his teachings as revealed by Holy Mother Church. Indeed, this is a great comfort to all Catholics. These references to family ties reveal that a Christian not only has a genealogy by means of his birth, but also shares in another of far greater order by means of his baptism. For baptism is the sacrament that brings us into the Catholic family, whose genealogy is not only the present and visible brother and sister, mother and father, but the wider family that we refer to in the Creed as the Communion of Saints. But what exactly is the Communion of Saints? Well, to help answer this question, I would like to turn to the UCAT, or the Youth Catechism, that was entrusted to the young of the Church during World Youth Day in 2011. On page 91, the following answer is given. The Communion of Saints is made up of all men and women who have placed their hope in Christ and belong to him through baptism, whether they have already died or are still alive. Because in Christ we are one body, we live in a communion that encompasses heaven and earth. The Church is larger and more alive than we think. Among her members are the living and the deceased, whether they are still undergoing a process of purification or are already in the glory of God, individuals known and unknown, great saints and inconspicuous people. We can help one another even beyond the grave. We can call on our patrons and favourite saints, but also our departed relatives and friends, whom we believe are already with God. Conversely, by our intercessory prayer, we can come to the aid of our dear departed who are still undergoing purification. Whatever the individual does or suffers in and for Christ benefits all. Conversely, this unfortunately means also that every sin harms the communion. And because she committed herself body and soul to a divine yet dangerous undertaking, Mary was taken up body and soul into heaven. And anyone who lives and believes as Mary did will get to heaven. So you see, our spiritual genealogy is alive and active, but it depends on your participation for its completion.
Well, Fergal, you're a good Catholic dad, and we appreciate your helping us to consider the spiritual aspects of genealogy.
Well, speaking of Catholic dads.
Yes, yes.
I wanted to do a little promotion for Just a Catholic Dad podcast, done by Sean McCarney over in the UK. And he has got the cutest, loveliest sounding little daughter, Katie. And I want to encourage everybody to go listen to the podcast first, Just a Catholic Dad, but also specifically episode number 62, where he was coming back in the car with Katie after picking up some stuff for her birthday party. I think she just turned 5. And she was making up a story about Katie, kind of in a third-person story. And it was so cute. I even had you listen to it.
Wow. Well, dear friends, we are part of the SQPN, StarQuest Production Network, affiliate structure, meaning that we're one of the affiliate programs tied in with SQPN.
And Just a Catholic Dad was voted in as an affiliate at the same time we were.
Right. So there you go. Some great Catholic programming available through SQPN. And we invite you to go to their website and find out about other good programs, podcasts, and bloggers. And we are ready to bring you our guest, Father Andreas Hoch. Next up on Catholic Vitamins, I am just so absolutely joyous in my heart to bring to our listeners Father Andreas Hoch. Father Andreas was one of the very special professors I had when I was going through deacon formation back in the Archdiocese of Denver. I just can't tell you what a gift it is to be able to have him on the phone today. Father Andreas, welcome to our program.
Thank you so much, Deacon Tom. It's a delight to be here and to be with you. Thank you.
Well, Father, we'll get into a little bit of what you're doing now, but maybe if we could tell people about your family of origin and where you came from.
Yes, definitely. Thank you. My name again is Father Andreas Hoch, and I'm a native of Germany. I was born in Cologne in Germany. It's a cradle Catholic to a good family, both parents and all siblings, brother to 3 sisters, 4 siblings altogether. A very Catholic family, I have to say. And we're all based in Cologne in Germany. And so I was born into that family and grew up and was raised as a Catholic just right from the from birth and from the beginning. So I'm very grateful about that, you know, that grace of being born into a Catholic family.
Amen. Amen. Now, what were your teen years like, and how about going off to college?
You know, I have to say by the grace of God, I was always a member of the church. I mean, from the beginning, from baptism, never left the church. So there's a straightforwardness and continuity, I have to say, due to my parents' example, very prayerful parents. You know, sacraments were just naturally part of our family life, of a weekly, you know, rhythm of life. And I went to an elementary school and then to a college in Germany, in Cologne, which was dedicated to St. Albert the Great. And so I grew up in the shadow of the Dominicans. So my background is Dominican, the Dominican spirituality, order of preachers. And so I spent 13 years, you know, preparing for the seminary, being taught by Dominicans, but also lay people, so there was a good mix. But it was just a Catholic environment, and so I was very privileged to grow up in a very Catholic environment for the early years of my, you know, elementary school and then high school and college. That all goes together. It's a different system, different school system slightly in Europe, but that's what it was. So it was a very Catholic environment for sure.
Well, you know, this is kind of a sidebar in our interview and our time together, but we hear words about the lack of Catholicism or the weakening of Christianity in Europe. You were especially blessed.
Yeah, definitely. I have to say, and it's also due to my parents' choices. I think they made very good choices. And you still have some very religious and, you know, Catholic-minded schools. They are not public schools. They are Catholic schools, so they do exist. But I have to say, you know, it was not completely free from, you know, secular influences at the time. So I grew up in the 60s and 70s. So I do admit to, you know, some influence of let's say, you know, modern and liberal and secular influence. But it didn't really drown out the solid character of upbringing and Catholic education. So I was definitely aware of secular influence, but was, you know, protected and preserved from, you know, falling away from the faith for sure. So I'm very grateful for that.
Amen. Amen. Okay, so what did you major in and what degrees do you have, Father?
Sure. So after college, I specialized actually in languages and humanities, so that's literature and languages, and I was around 18, 19 years old. And by that time, I was resolved, you know, I had decided that I wanted to become a priest. In fact, I wanted, you know, my vocation became very clear to me early on in childhood. But anyway, at that juncture, 18, 19 years old, I joined a religious community, an Augustinian family, and I studied in Rome and Jerusalem, actually also in Brazil, and I majored and got my ecclesiastical degrees, church degrees, in philosophy, and then in theology, and then I specialized in scripture, so I have a licentiate, and then also a doctorate in sacred scripture, and the doctorate is was earned from the Biblicum in Rome. That's the Pontifical Biblical Institute in Rome. It's really the leading Catholic biblical exegesis training center in the Catholic world. So I was very privileged to do that, and it took me, other than the seven, eight years novitiate, plus 2 years in philosophy, 4 years theology, another 10 years to do the doctorate in Rome and Jerusalem. So altogether, spent my entire life in school, basically. Mm. But that's what it is. So it's a doctorate in scripture, really.
Our listeners to Catholic Vitamins will know that we have come to a true expert in in Holy Scripture and many other things. Father, just to round out the picture, tell us about your position and work now in the Archdiocese of Denver.
Certainly, Deacon. I am incarnated in the Archdiocese of Denver, Colorado, here in the Rocky Mountain region. And by the way, we just lost our Archbishop. Chaput was transferred to Philadelphia, so we're waiting for a new bishop, which doesn't really change the status of priests and deacons in the diocese. So I'm an incarnated priest, which means I'm stable here. I will spend my life here for the Archdiocese. And I have, from the beginning, since I came to Denver in 1999, I have been assigned to the seminary. And so we are forming all clergy for Northern Colorado and beyond. So we have guest diocesan seminarians and religious seminarians from other areas, other dioceses across the country, really. But I, from the beginning, I've been teaching scripture courses and scripture languages to our good seminarians and deacon candidates. And as of late, as of 2010, I'm also the academic dean. So I'm in charge of the entire academic formation, the intellectual formation of clergy for all these dioceses, including our own, obviously. And so I guess I'm combining, you know, academic life, administration, teaching, and a little of pastoral life as well, because I'm in residence at the cathedral in downtown Denver, Immaculate Conception Cathedral. And so I'm really having the best of all worlds, you might say, you know, academic life and teaching and pastoral life as well.
Well, Father, I know what a gift it was to sit at your feet, so to speak, when I was going through deacon formation in the Archdiocese of Denver. I'm still incarnated there, and I was ordained by Archbishop Chaput, so I have a lot of my heart back there.
Thank you. Congratulations. Thank you, Deacon.
So our topic for this show is genealogy, with a little bit of emphasis,
right, or
maybe much emphasis, on the Old Testament. And,
right,
you know, there were a lot of endearing values, important values in the Old Testament. There are marriage and family and covenant and the love affair between God and his chosen people. And,
absolutely.
And lineage, or genealogy.
Yeah.
Now, would you, I guess as a first question, would you say that we we've lost some sense of the importance of these themes in our modern world?
We definitely did. It has certainly been diluted. We have less understanding now, certainly, even much less understanding than the ancient Semites, the chosen people, the Israelites of the Old Testament, had an acute sense of life, of receiving new life, welcoming new life, enlisting, enrolling life into public records, you know, family lineages, family kinship, genealogies, family lines and lineages were always recorded in public archives, right from the primordial days, really. So an acute sense of the transmission of life, the support of life, the love for life, all of this is reflected in those famous biblical genealogies. Yes, so the short answer is yes, we have less love and less understanding of the importance of, you know, keeping the tabs, you know, on life and the succession of life in our days today, unfortunately, in a sense.
Yeah. I would right. guess that this then is almost a sort of an obvious follow-on to your answer that you gave. When we hear what sounds like, you know, I apologize, but maybe a boring list of family names read to us or whatever, that there are some hidden meanings or some important things that we should be listening for or trying to learn.
Yes. You know, that is so true. And I guess there are two perspectives. One is the one, you might say, the divine perspective, and then there's the human perspective or the people perspective. So from God's eyes, the family line and those records and archives of family lines really manifest his providence, all right, his love, his eternal designs for life, and how God pursues from humble origins, you know, growth and accomplishment and, maturation, you know, the maturity of his design, which finally flows into larger families and then even into kings and nobility, you know, humble and rich people, only to manifest in the fullness of time his Messiah, right? The Anointed One, the Christ, the God-man who springs from those human roots. So through God's eyes, it's a manifestation of his providence and of his eternal designs. So very sacred issues. And then from our perspective, it's simply, you know, our grateful reception of that providence and even our pride. We're very proud of being part of the history of salvation, and all of it is worthy to be recorded and to be archived and to be transmitted and to be spoken about and to be manifest, to be written up and to be read and, you know, communicated, conveyed to future generations. So God's providence, his designs with us, and our pride and our gratitude to receive those designs and to be key players and to be the beneficiaries of that history of salvation. So all of that comes together, and it's magnificently expressed in those very terse, very concise succession of names that we find in scriptures.
Mm-hmm. In a few of the masses during the liturgical year, we hear the readings of the genealogy of the Messiah.
And yeah, right.
I wonder what importance people should be trying to learn from hearing the genealogy of the Messiah.
Absolutely. You know, that's true, and it's really a gem, and it has to be rediscovered. And if people understood that, for one, every link counts. That's the first lesson we can learn from those the Matthean and the Lucan genealogy. So we have two principal genealogies in the New Testament. They are based on many, many more in the Old Testament, but especially Matthew in chapter 1 and then Luke in chapter 3 and 4. The genealogy simply underlines that for God, every link counts. And, you know, in the context of, you know, legalized abortion in our society, you know, where we simply, you know, without further ado, without any remorse, we eliminate entire generations of babies, You know, that would be unthinkable for the ancient Semites, because every link, every baby, every human being counts in the family line. Then secondly, also the flux and flow, the stream of human life that prepares for the Messiah. So that's the second principal idea, that all of this is in function of and at the service of preparing the one who redeems us. All right, so we're waiting for the one who has been announced, prepared by all these generations of men and women, leading up to his own life. And then thirdly, in Matthew and in Luke, you have a different perspective. For one, it goes back to Abraham, and then through Moses and David leading up to Christ. And in Luke, it goes back to God through Adam. So there's, for one, Christ is seen as the Son of God through Adam, like Adam was a son of God, in the sense that he was a creature of God, in the image of God. So is Christ. Christ is the new and perfect divine image of God. Whereas in Matthew, you have it go back to Abraham. So Jesus is the new Abraham. Abraham, our father in faith. And then Jesus brings faith to fulfillment. So the two perspectives that we can learn from those, that Jesus is our father in faith, the importance of faith. But Jesus is also the new Adam. And so the reassessment and reevaluation and reappreciation of our sonship and our filiation in God, we're children of God. So it's just massively important. And so those are some of the nuggets some of the lessons that can be learned from those simple genealogies.
Father, what a great gift it is to be able to take some of your precious time and talk about this subject. I have a question that I'm going to lead into, but I want to share a brief story with you and get you to comment on it. In my travels, I came upon a church, a Catholic church from the 1800s in Nevada. And in the entry area, but before you get into the church, there is a history of the church preserved in the form of vestments and vessels and newspaper articles and bulletins and just the history of 200 years, I guess, of this church, this beautiful old church.
Right.
And it reminds me that there is a church, there are a people who know the importance of preserving where they've come from.
Wow.
And I think many of our modern day Catholic churches, you know, from one priest to another, almost things are forgotten, and it's sort of a shame.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And then on the other side, we know that, you know, America is the melting pot of many peoples and people of so many different origins, many Europeans and from all other continents. But it's interesting to see how many people go into family studies, you know, the origin. They want to know about their origins, sometimes travel to their, you know, ancestral countries, Ireland or Italy and Germany. But there's the inner quest of a person to know about his or her origins, right? Which becomes so visible, you know, in those activities and research. So that touches me as well.
Okay, well, related then to that story that I shared with you about that church in Nevada that I found, is there any significance that we can see to genealogies that speak to the issue of culture or customs or historical realities?
You know, absolutely. I think that, you know, in terms of culture, for one, our family today, as we all know, the image of marriage, of family, of cohesion of several generations, you know, grandparents and parents and children and grandchildren and so forth, is very much under attack. It is being corroded. It's being undermined. It's being ridiculed. People try to redefine marriage and family. And so family is the cell. It's the quintessential core reality of any society, certainly of the church. And so in light of those genealogies, I think culturally we can learn from those genealogies that we need to reappreciate, that we need to solidify you know, the conviction about the beauty, the health and worth and dignity and greatness of that divine institution, which it really is, which is marriage and family, and educating our family, our children, in that sense. And by the way, for example, the ordination of bishops, what we call the succession of the apostles, the apostolic succession, does exactly the same. So, for example, Peter and his successors are all documented in the tradition of the Church. We have no missing link between St. Peter of Galilee and Pope Benedict XVI. There's an unbroken link, family line, you might say, you know, between Peter and his successors. And so it's just a huge value. And if we could just, you know, rediscover the value of being proud of our origins, you know, proud of our predecessors, you know, fathers and mothers who have preceded us in faith, in the communion of all the saints, which has huge cultural ramifications and consequences, obviously.
Sure, sure.
Right. Well, yeah.
Father, when we get this show posted, I will send word to your administrative associate there, Debbie,
and let her know that
the show is posted on the World Wide Web. But I wonder if you have any closing comments on genealogy or any books or articles that come to mind.
Right, right. That's a great question. I would probably suggest two things. Other than, you know, appreciating and prayerfully reading those lines of names of fathers and sons and mothers and daughters, and maybe look into the footnotes of a good Bible edition like the New Revised Version or the American Standard Bible or the Jerusalem Bible. But the first book that I would suggest for those who want to go a little deeper, and it's really in reach and it's available, it's the New Jerome Biblical Commentary. New Jerome Biblical Commentary contains a beautiful explanation, you know, beginning with the Church Fathers, many saints, you know, throughout church history who have commented on those genealogies, like, for example, the function of women in the genealogy of St. Matthew. Matthew's gospel includes five women and how they, you know, converted basically to the faith of the ancestors, of the chosen people, and contributed marvelously in the birth of the Messiah leading up to Mary, the mother of Jesus. So my first suggestion out of two, to maybe check out in a library or get a hold of this commentary, go a little deeper. And then secondly, an all-time classic is from St. Augustine. And St. Augustine gives us a wonderful tool to understand scriptures in general, which is called On Christian Doctrine. On Christian Doctrine is an all-time classic and comes with warm recommendation. It's one of the greatest keys that will unlock, you know, the doors of difficult Bible texts and will help the reader and listener, you know, to go deeper into the mystery of the Word of God. So those are two little commentaries that I suggest for your listeners.
Wonderful. Our guest on Catholic Vitamins has been Father Andreas Hoag, who is the academic dean and wearing many hats in the Archdiocese of Denver. Father Hoag, I just have such a tender place in my heart for the hours that I spent in your classrooms. As we end our time together, could we ask for your blessing?
Yes, certainly. And my gratitude to you as well, Deacon. Thank you so much for your good work and keep it all up. A pleasure to be with you, and thanks for the invitation and the opportunity. So may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit come down on you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Amen.
Priest forever in the line of Melchizedek, consecrated to the service of the Lord, to sit at his right hand. Forever. persona Christi ad maggiorem Dei gloria. Todus tuus, amen.
Hi, this is Teresa Doyle Nelson, author of Saints of the Bible and More Saints of the Bible. I would like to start my Catholic Vitamin G contribution with some hints and clues and see if you can guess what my Saints and Scripture Vitamin G is. Clue number one is pretty obvious. My Vitamin G is a saint from the Bible whose name begins with the letter G. Number two, this saint from the Bible can be found in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Clue number three, the feast day of the saint is September 29th. Number four, the patronage of the saint is of the communication arts. Clue number six, this saint from the Bible once appeared to the prophet Daniel, who passed out in terror at the apparition. Number six, the following are quotes of this saint found in Scripture. Daniel, I have now come to give you understanding. Do not be afraid, Zechariah, because your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall name him John. Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you. For nothing will be impossible for God. And clue number seven. This saint is an archangel. If you guess the archangel Gabriel, you are correct. Gabriel shares a feast day with the other archangels, Raphael and Michael. He is the patron of communication arts due to the messages he delivers on behalf of God. If you want to learn more about Saint Gabriel and his interactions with the prophet Daniel, read over chapters 8 and 9 in the book of Daniel. Most Catholics are pretty familiar with his appearances in the New Testament to Zechariah and Mary. But if you want to review these stories a little more deeply, they are both found in Luke's first chapter. May Saint Gabriel the Archangel and all archangels in heaven bless you and pray for your intentions today.
Thank you, Teresa Doyle Nelson, for another and interesting approach to a vitamin contribution for today. I told you in an email that I sent to you that it took me until about the third or so last hint before I knew who your subject saint was for today. Thank you, Teresa. And as we come to the end of Teresa's contributions on Catholic vitamins in a couple weeks, we're going to try to have her on the show and say a few words and find out what she's going to be doing next.
Thank you. I hope that works out.
Right. I want to thank Father Andreas Hoch. He was just such a wonderful, humorous, but a wonderful, sensitive, and caring priest and a professor for us when we went through formation. And I thank also Debbie, the lady in his office who helped us spend some time with Father Andreas. We love the people at the Archdiocese of Denver. Chancery is on fire there, and we were formed by them, so thank you to everyone there.
We were so fortunate. I mean, we had a lot of professors who taught in the seminary that also taught the deacon formation classes. So we had some top-notch
instructors. Absolutely. Father,
I say we because I was sitting there too. I wasn't becoming a deacon, but I was sitting there listening.
As we have told listeners to Catholic Vitamins, you joined in on every class. It was such a blessing to have you there. And the only time you weren't there is when they gave exams. You and the other ladies.
The other wives, we went shopping, but not the kind of shopping you'd think. Every time we did a shopping trip when they had exams, we went to the Catholic bookstore.
Oh, okay. Father Andreas mentioned the new Jerome Biblical Commentary and St. Augustine's work on Christian doctrine. We'll put those in our show notes. And after Father Andreas, we played the greatest gift. Oh, excuse me. We played You Are a Priest Forever, which is another one of Brian Flynn's songs. We played that in an earlier show, and it seemed appropriate coming out of the interview with Father Andreas. And we're going to close the show today with The Greatest Gift. It's a song I'm going to dedicate to Dee, and I'm also going to dedicate to Keith and to Helen to send them on their newly married way. And for all of you ladies out there who are Valentines, this song is from your husband through the courtesy of Catholic Vitamins. I'm struggling to find a way to say that. At any rate, when we close the show, from his new album, Born Again, Brian Flynn does The Greatest Gift. All right, Dee.
I'm thinking that you're wearing out the CD from Brian Flynn.
Oh, I played
it
a lot.
You've been playing it and playing it and playing it.
Yeah, it's a great CD. Go to his website.
All right, Vita Scrabble for next time.
All right.
Will be vitamin H.
Hmm.
Ends in M.
M.
M, as in mother.
I bet I know what it is. It's him. H-Y-M-N.
Seven letters.
That wouldn't work. Seven letters. Begins with H, ends in
M.
M.
Seven letters, so it's not him.
Okay. All right. If you know it, or think you know it, 206-350-3789, or catholicvitamins@gmail.com.
And I have, if we're ready to go out, I have a vitaminate.
I don't really want to say goodbye to folks. I like the show, and it's close to Valentine's Day, and we were so blessed to have Father Andreas on, but I guess we do want to wrap up.
Well, I could do the vitamin and you could keep on talking.
No, that's all right. That's all right.
All right. From my usual Catherine Doherty Madonna House meditation calendar. Why not start the fire of love by loving one by one all whom we meet and deal with during the day?
All right. Very good. Very appropriate for Valentine's Day, which has become a big commercial doodah with flowers and all that. And while we are going out to eat, we prayed before we started the show, and Dee and I pray a lot together, and we're praying to improve our marriage and our love. A holy marriage, right?
Right.
All right. That's it for this show. Thank you for being a faithful listener to Catholic Vitamins. Pass the word and get other people to join in to our family.
Bye.
From A to Z, Catholic Vitamins. Don't enter the race without them. See you next time.
This is Deacon Tom. Blessings.
SQPN, leading the way in Catholic new media.
From this day we'll walk together, whether sick, well, rich or poor. From this day we will be one no longer two. There may be times down in the valleys other times upon the mountains. No matter where God leads us, I promise to you that I'll be faithful to you. And whatever you do, I will walk beside you. You